Testing.
No, we already did.
I know, I got nervous. I wasn't ready. You're listening to A Scary State, and this week we're covering Georgia. So, Lauren?
Yes, Nora?
Let's get scary.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about Georgia. Georgia was nicknamed the Peach State and joined the Union on January 2nd, 1788, and became the fourth state in the U.S. It got its name from King George II of England. How original. George, Georgia. Interesting laws. If you live in Acworth, you must own a rake. It is illegal to keep a donkey in your bathtub. And in Jonesboro, it is illegal to say, oh boy.
I say that all the time, so I would get in trouble.
There is a pillar located in Augusta, and it said that if you touch the pillar, you will die shortly after. So that's kind of terrifying. There's also a portal to an alternate universe located in Dublin, Georgia. The universe is called, oh man, Chimaer Cathier.
Oh.
Nailed it.
Is that Latin?
I have no idea. But yeah, so that's this alternate universe. In 1732, the colony of Georgia was almost used as the location where prisoners who were unable to pay their debts were sent. Which is horrible.
Yeah.
And this part I thought was really cool. So in Savannah, Georgia, many porches are painted haint blue. It is believed that this specific blue color warded off evil spirits and ghosts. So this blue is also a superstitious color from the African voodoo religion. So
okay, I really want to go to Savannah, and now I do even more if they're warding off spirits like
that.
Oh,
yeah. And the color is really, really pretty, too.
Ooh.
Georgia has three identified serial killers. And from that research from Radford University and Florida Gulf Coast University, Georgia is one of the top 10 states with the largest number of serial killer victims at 365.
With only a few serial killers?
With only three identified serial killers.
Oh, identified, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we don't know, like, you know, with that stat, too, it could be that it was a serial killer who lived in, like, Montana and killed someone who lived in Georgia.
Yeah, good point.
All right. So, Nora, what are you talking about today?
So, today I'm talking about Lake Lanier.
And
I'm so excited
for
this. Oh,
this is a good one.
And I just have to say, the whole time I was doing research, I was pronouncing the name of the lake in my head as Lake Lanier. And I am so glad that I watched a YouTube video saying how to say the name, because that would have been embarrassing.
Just
and you probably would have had to tell me during
just
it.
Just a little.
So in order to understand all of the hauntings in Lake Lanier, you have to understand the history of it. So Lake Lanier is a man-made lake just northeast of Atlanta, Georgia, about like 60 to 80 miles northeast.
Mm-hmm.
The lake was created in the 1950s by flooding valley communities. The land, before it became Lake Lanier, mm-hmm. was beautiful and filled with wildlife, rabbits, squirrels, other animals just living their best life there. And today, Lake Lanier is considered a major party lake.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you ever party at lakes when you were younger?
Not really.
Yeah, I didn't either.
There really aren't any, like, around us.
No.
People would just go to the beach, Ocean City.
We had a reservoir that we used to go down to. It probably wasn't super safe, but it was a lot of fun.
Really?
Oh, yes. There was this little trail that led you down there, and we would go down the trail, and then it brought you to the reservoir, and you would jump off the little bridge thing. You had to jump on one side because apparently the other side had a pole that someone broke their leg on.
Huh.
And then they got like wise to people doing this, and they pretty much caged off the entire thing, so no one could do it anymore.
Okay.
But it was so fun during the summer.
The one place I did think was really cool was the Blue Hole in Harrisonburg.
Mm-hmm.
If you Google the Blue Hole in Harrisonburg, Virginia, it is a very pretty area. Unfortunately, a lot of college students have kind of trashed it a bit.
Yeah.
But it is still really nice.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. But back to Lake Lanier. On the outside, it's a gorgeous lake, and parts of the show Ozark were filmed there as well.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. So the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are the ones who wanted to create a lake to provide Atlanta and other surrounding counties with power and water. But they couldn't just take the land for free, so the engineers offered the residents of the land money to buy the land from them and build a lake on it.
Mm-hmm.
This land had been in families for generations, so obviously families were hesitant and didn't want to sell. But eventually the Corps was able to get over 700 families to sell over 56,000 acres of land.
Dang.
Engineers got to work building a dam and dumping billions of gallons of water into the valley where the community was located, and the last Lake Lanier was created.
Nice.
Yeah. But let's back up for a second. Even though the families left the land, not all of the buildings left with them while the lake was being made.
Mm-hmm.
Some more dangerous buildings were demolished, yes, but the Corps also left a lot of the buildings there. It's like a real-life Atlantis at the bottom of Lake Lanier.
That's actually really, really cool.
It's cool, but it's also very creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Caesar Yabor, a spokesperson for the Corps, said that an old auto racing track was left behind and remains at the lake bottom, although the Corps removed its bleachers so that they wouldn't float to the surface and cause a hazard for boaters.
Jeez.
So, at least they had enough sense to remove the bleachers, but yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yabor also said that block foundations of some small buildings were also submerged. One historian says that over the decades when the lake's water levels dropped during various droughts, submerged roads, tire parts, and other artifacts have been exposed.
Cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Very cool.
In addition to the buildings and structures that were left behind, the community also contained 20 cemeteries.
Oh.
I know. Which contributes to the legend that the lake's cursed.
Yep.
The engineers moved many of the tombstones and bodies out of the cemetery, but they didn't manage to move all of them. Some unmarked grave sites were left behind because they were not easily identifiable or no families came forward to claim them. As a result, historians claim that several unmarked grave sites are still submerged beneath the lake today. Caesar Yabor, who I mentioned is the current spokesperson for the Corps, also told CNN that, quote, the technological capability to identify and verify unmarked burial sites through subsurface scanning or other means was far less robust 70 years ago. While the Corps made every effort at the time to locate unmarked burials, the limited capabilities of the time made it probable that unanticipated finds of human remains are possible.
Ew.
Whether from the antebellum and Civil War periods or of Native American origin from pre-colonial and ancient times.
Jeez.
So basically this man said, yes, you will find bodies and skeletons in this lake. Like, there are bodies in there, which is crazy.
I wouldn't want to go swimming in this lake I knew that.
You would think that most people wouldn't, but so many people go there every year.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Is it, like, well known what the lake used to be?
I mean, there's a lot of rumors that it's haunted, but mm-hmm. It really doesn't stop people because people want to go party there. It's a gorgeous lake.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're 20 years old, you're just like, whatever.
That's,
you know?
True. Yep.
So many of these unmarked sites that were in the lake belonged to Native Americans whose graves had been there for centuries. So obviously, since their whole tribe was probably wiped out when, you know, mm-hmm. man came here. Well, they were men, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Once, like,
white settlers
came, they wiped out whole communities of Native Americans. So clearly no one would be there to claim any graves in other places now. Aww. In the U.S. I know. A guy named Buck Buchanan, who is a diver in Lake Lanier, told one news station about his experiences in October of 2017 while diving in the lake. He said, quote, you reach out into the dark and you feel an arm or a leg and it doesn't move, end quote.
No, thank you.
The grave sites were submerged in water, and I guess water makes dead bodies float.
Yep.
So apparently there's a ton of bodies floating in the lake
that
just pop up from time to time.
No.
I'm thinking that the bodies were from newer graves because the older ones would probably just be bones.
Yeah.
Or people who died in the lake from accidents whose bodies were never found.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
But the bodies from the old cemetery aren't the only creepy and sad things about the lake. Lake Lanier has had a number of deaths associated with it since its official opening in the 50s. It's been reported that a total of 675 people have died in the lake since it opened, which averages about one death per month since it opened.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a ton. The lake does get around 8 million visitors per year.
Jeez.
So, I mean,
are we going to have to add this to our road list?
No, I am not. I'll go to Savannah. I will not go to this lake.
Okay.
Just clarifying.
I gotcha.
So that's a lot of deaths, even though it was only 675 people out of 8 million per year. But still. Yeah, that's still too many.
Yeah.
The lake is also 80 to 100 feet deep in some areas, making it incredibly difficult for search and rescue to find bodies because not only is it deep, it also spreads over 56,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, there's a lot of disappearances and missing people at the lake.
No.
The Law Enforcement Division of the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, that's a mouthful,
yeah,
reported a total of 145 drownings and 57 boat fatalities at Lake Lanier from 1999 to 2018.
Wow.
That is 3 times more deaths than any other lake in Georgia in that time period. And granted, Lake Lanier is bigger and more popular than other Georgia lakes, but that's still. Yeah. Richard Stever, who often goes to Lake Lanier, claimed that he has witnessed multiple accidents at the lake that seems incredibly strange. He said, quote, "For some reason, this lake seems to claim a lot of people every year, regardless of the season. Fishermen have gotten hurt and boats have been capsized." On July of 2012, 11-year-old Kyle Glover, who happened to be the son of Usher's ex-wife, was struck while riding an inner tube by a family acquaintance riding a jet ski and was rendered brain dead and taken off life support 2 weeks later, despite doctors having struggled to save his life.
Aww.
Yeah. A 15-year-old friend of the boy was also seriously injured in the same incident, but ultimately recovered, thank God.
Jeez.
Around that same time, two brothers named Jake and Griffin Prince were out on a pontoon boat at the lake with their family when the boat was struck by another boater. Both brothers died.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And the driver of the boat that hit them was charged with homicide, but the charges were later dropped.
Why?
It didn't say. I think they just hit a plea. They agreed on a plea deal. And he was found guilty of lesser charges. So my guess is that he was probably intoxicated. And so they just got him for like a DUI and some other things.
Yeah.
But I personally think they shouldn't have settled with that guy. Mm-mm. Just saying. But there was a silver lining after Kyle Glover and the Prince brothers' deaths. Kyle's mom had a large impact in reforming boating laws in Georgia. Her efforts resulted in the passage of the Jake and Griffin Prince BUI law, which is boating under the influence law, and the Kyle Glover boat education law, enacted by the Georgia legislature and signed by former Governor Nathan Deal in 2013.
Oh, well, see, it's always something sad, but it's good when there's, like, you know, the silver lining to the bad thing.
Exactly. And I feel like these laws were, they should have been enacted years prior, but at least they happened.
Oh, yeah.
The new boating laws changed several significant things, including lowering the blood alcohol level to 0.08, which is the same for operation of a motor vehicle, from the higher and more lenient 0.10 level.
Oh, wow. So I feel like it's harder to drive a boat, too, because you don't have, like, when you brake in a car, you have the road that's making friction with, so you're going to brake. Mm-hmm. When you're driving a boat, you can't brake, and you don't have as much control of the boat as you do with a car.
Exactly. That's so true. I think they wanted to make it more lenient because so many people are going to be drinking on their boat.
Yeah.
But you have to get that one person to not drink and drive, even if – drive the boat, even if you're taking turns. Especially at this lake, don't take your chances.
Oh, yeah. Don't even go to this lake. I know. Just kidding. You can go, but it's scary.
Other provisions now require kids under the age of 13 to wear life jackets whenever they're on a boat that is in motion.
Good.
Yeah, whether by motor, wind, or wave, they have to wear a life jacket.
Good.
Personally, I think given the history of the accidents in the lake, everyone should be required to have a life jacket, like no matter their age, because the killing or the murders, killings, deaths, drownings, everything happening there is to people of all different ages.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll happen in the future, but right now it's not a law. But when boats aren't anchored, life jackets for kids under age 13 are now mandatory.
Good.
Prior to this law, kids under 10 had to wear one. So okay. That's an improvement.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. So now let's jump to the summer of 2019, because this is more recent and an extremely deadly period of time for this lake.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate because they put all these new laws in place, but the laws really only affect, you know, kids.
Yeah.
So this just proves further that they should probably consider, you know, widening it.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. On May 9th of 2019, two boaters went missing after a boat crash. They were driving a small fishing boat and crashed into a larger boat that completely took them out.
Ugh.
The body of one boater, Brandislav Proch, was recovered, but the body of his friend Nicholas Schwimweg has not been found. Then on Memorial Day weekend, two deaths occurred less than 24 hours from each other.
Oh.
I know. The body of 30-year-old Reginald Whitehead was located around 10:45 p.m. on May 25th when his jet ski flipped. He didn't know how to swim and he wasn't wearing a flotation device of any kind, so he drowned.
Oh.
His death was followed by 61-year-old Michael Thompson just after midnight. He drowned near his own boat dock. which is super mysterious. Usually drownings at the lake are alcohol related, but neither of these cases were.
Yeah.
So we know like Reginald couldn't swim, so that probably led to his drowning, but no one really knows exactly what happened to Michael. Maybe he had like a heart attack and fell in.
Dang.
But I feel like that would have been mentioned.
Yeah.
Other than just a drowning. On June 30th, a 28-year-old man named Corey Brown died after jumping into Lake Lanier to save a distressed friend.
Aww.
I know. Corey was said to have jumped into the water and was never seen again. Planes and drones were used to look for both Corey and his friend, but neither of them were ever found.
Ugh.
Over the years, the lake has had countless accidents, ranging from boat accidents to drownings to cars careening off the road and into the lake for no apparent reason.
Jeez.
Yeah. Survivors of various accidents have reported feeling invisible hands dragging them deep beneath the water.
Ooh, that gave me goosebumps. Mm-hmm.
Aside from the countless deaths and accidents occurring in the lake, there's also an infamous ghost story about the Lady of the Lake.
Naturally.
Yeah. It all started when the skeleton of a woman was found at the bottom of Lake Lanier in 1958, so shortly after it opened.
Mm-hmm.
Her body was still in her car when they found her.
Jeez.
It appeared that she had been trapped in there. So I don't know if maybe she couldn't get the door open, because I don't think seatbelts were really a thing yet, or even in cars.
I have no idea.
I think that started more in like the 70s.
Oh.
But she could have been panicking and was never able to get out. Since her body was discovered, people have claimed to see her in a flowing blue dress, her spirit haunting the lake and shores.
Hmm.
Apparently, she also walks the Dawsonville Highway Bridge, which goes over Lake Lanier.
Ew.
So creepy. I don't know. I wonder if, like, that's the bridge her car went off of.
Oh.
So maybe that's why people think they saw her. But
yeah.
I found a quote from a man named Jay Bailey who said, quote, "There are three places you should never visit if you go to Georgia, and all three of them are Lake Lanier. Please stop going to that lake. I'm not even from Georgia, and I know that. The lake is literally full of dead bodies. If that doesn't scream haunted, then I don't know what does."
Oh, my gosh. End okay. Quote. We definitely won't go here.
I know. 8 million people still do every year.
Yeah.
So I think the lake was destined to be haunted based off of its creation. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you don't let bodies rest peacefully, spirits will haunt the crap out of whoever disturbs their land.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that in my research, I found statistics that showed the deaths in the lake are overwhelmingly males and overwhelmingly African-Americans.
Wow.
Like African-American males.
I wonder why.
I don't know, but it's so sad. Like, that's just, I mean, it's devastating for anyone to die, but especially when it's mainly like one group of people.
Yeah. You know? That just makes it very, or just yeah, odd. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's odd. And it's like, I mean, people like need to wear life vests in this lake because mm-hmm. I truly believe that it is haunted. And
if people are feeling invisible hands pulling them mm-hmm. down, like that's terrifying.
Exactly.
Terrifying.
Yeah. And I think another idea for anyone who plans on going to this lake who might be listening, bring one of those portable breathalyzers with you onto the boat. They sell them on Amazon.
That's smart.
They're really small. You can bring them like anywhere so that you can check the person driving the boat, make sure that they're not, you know, being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because one day of fun is not worth your whole life.
Very true.
That's my life lesson for the day.
In place of your dad joke, huh?
Yeah. This one, I was like, I need a life lesson. I'm a wise dad today.
Ew. Well, we're never going to go there.
No. All right, Lauren, what's up?
All right. So dealing with water still, I'm going to be talking about one of the most often cited monsters in all of North America. So it has over 350 recorded sightings. Its name is the Altamahaha, nicknamed Alti.
Altamahaha.
Uh-huh. Also known as Georgia's Loch Ness Monster. So Darien, Georgia really ran with this idea of this Loch Ness Monster, and the welcome sign at their visitor center even has Alti on it.
Mm.
So Alti is located in the Altamaha River in southern Georgia. The river is about 137 miles long and cuts right through the center of the state, eventually emptying into the Atlantic Ocean. So it's both salt and freshwater. It's 14,000 square miles, making it one of the largest river basins in the entire U.S.
Wow.
The shore of this river is mainly marshes, canals, rice fields, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was discovered by the Tamon Native American tribe who were local to Georgia. Before the British-English colonization, they started to record noises. So they started to hear a monster that would hiss and bellow from the edge of the water. It's also recorded that they have talked of giant snakes in the waters.
Oh, no.
Which is super creepy. These Native Americans were mainly with the Lower Muscogee Creek tribe. So a description of this alti, it's a mix between a crocodile, a seal, and a sturgeon. So a sturgeon is a kind of catfish-looking thing, and they can typically grow to be between 7 and 12 feet. The largest recorded was a beluga female, measuring 23 feet long and weighing 3,463 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
So the Altamahaha also has the snout of a crocodile.
I did not when you say that. I did not. Sorry.
I know. It even says ha-ha. So it has the snout of a crocodile, large sharp teeth, protruding eyes which are facing forward, and animals that have forward-facing eyes mean that they hunt their prey, which is creepy. It's typically 30 feet long, but reports have varied with it being between 20 and 70 feet long. And with these drastic variations in size, it's believed that there's a whole family of them living in the river, and so that they just continue to breed. And like the Loch Ness Monster, it has a bony ridge on its back. Only front flippers, no back flippers, so only two. And it swims like a porpoise or a dolphin. It's also said to be It's also said to be gray with a whitish-yellow underbelly. But I read another description that said it has the head of a crocodile, a long neck, a manatee body, and a dolphin tail. So a little different.
It's almost like a snake mixed with crocodile mixed with something else.
Yeah, mixed with all the creepy river creatures.
Yeah.
Though its tail differs from a dolphin's, as it has a large diamond-shaped tail and a dolphin has a split tail, this has led marine experts to believe that it's closer related to a dolphin or a whale and not so much a fish. So I've read a few theories that describe why this huge animal would be located in the river, and the rationale is that it's more of a The rationale is if it's more of a fish or more of a dolphin. So one theory says that it's a saltwater fish that uses the river as a spawning ground. And then the second theory is, as I mentioned earlier, it's more related to dolphins and that it's from the deep sea and comes into the shallower waters and rice fields to breed, then heads back out to the sea.
Huh.
So it's mainly sighted around Darien, Butler Island, and McIntosh County. And an interesting thing about Darien, so it was founded by the Scott Highlanders in 1736, who had come from the shores of Loch Ness in Scotland in a place called Inverness. So when they came to the country, they named their new area New Inverness. And so they're the ones who had seen the Loch Ness Monster in the Loch Ness or whatever.
Yeah.
So some reports say that they sighted a Loch Ness-type monster, while other reports say that it was never sighted. But I think it's interesting that they came over here. They may have reported it, and they have their Nessie back over there, and then they have their Alti here.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that they cited this, but then we go back to the Native Americans who saw it, you know, in the 1700s.
Yeah.
So some sightings. So like I said, in the 1700s, we have the Tama Indian tribe. The Creek Indians of Georgia also had sightings of it. And the first reported sightings were from the Highlanders who settled in their newly named area of New Inverness in 1736. And they stated that they would constantly see Alti swimming around. In 1826, a sea captain, Captain Delano of the Eagle, spotted the monster near St. Simons, where the river empties into the ocean. He wasn't the only one to see the monster either. Five of his other crew members also saw it. And on April 18th, 1830, the Savannah Georgian News...
Today's April 18th, sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So today, in 1830... The Savannah, Georgia newspaper interviewed Captain Delano and on April 22nd posted an article that stated, quote, he repeated the particulars precisely, describing the animal he saw as being about 70 feet long and its circumference about that of a sugar hogshead, moving with its head, shaped like an alligator's, about 8 feet out of the water. So a hogshead is a large cask of liquid, so it's just like a huge barrel type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's how big it was saying the circumference of its head was.
Wow. Okay, I don't believe that it was 70 feet, but I believe everything else he said.
Yeah. So some tried to disprove the captain by saying that it was just a North Atlantic right whale, as many have been seen in the area that the captain was. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the captain had previously stated he knew a whale when he saw one. Delano had already spoken to the Charleston Mercury in March of 1830, and that article stated that, quote, he is acquainted with all kinds of whale, and he never saw but once before, about 4 years since, off Dubois Bar, a monster similar to the one above described. They talk very interesting back then.
Yeah.
They're way that their sentences are formed.
It, like, doesn't flow. So yeah. When you're reading it, it's, like,
very difficult. So in the 1920s, some timbermen who were on the river reportedly saw a large snake-like water monster. 1935, a group of hunters saw a giant snake swim through the river. 1940, a group of Boy Scouts saw the monster. Mm. 1950s, two officials from the Reidsville State Prison also saw it. And in 1960,
why were they out there?
I don't know. I don't really know where that state prison is, but maybe it's near the water?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They saw it out the window.
Yeah. In 1969, two brothers were out fishing at Clark's Bluff, which is right off of the river. At first, they believed they had seen a sturgeon, but after getting a better look, quickly changed their minds. They reported the animal was between 10 to 12 feet long. It had a horizontal tail and a snout like an alligator, and it had a rectangular ridge on its back, sharp pointed teeth, and was gray. Mm. So they got, like, must have gotten really close to this animal.
Yeah.
In the 1970s, there was a tale that someone had seen a 20-foot creature with the head of a snake. Frank Culpepper said he was in the area of Two-Way and saw a creature that left a wake big enough to cause boats to bump and bob in its wake. Wow. A man from Brunswick named Harvey Blackman was at that same point on the river when he said he saw a 15 to 20-foot long creature also with a snake-like head. So though it was discovered around 1736, it didn't gain popularity or much notice in the public until 1981. Other than those, like, little stories, mm-hmm. When a newspaper publisher went out fishing. He said that he saw the animal and that it had, quote, two humps 5 feet apart that were moving as fast as a speedboat. Mm. So the summer right before that, two men were out in the river near Cathead Creek and saw an animal half in the water, half out of the water, thrashing around, clearly trying to get back in the water. So it, I guess it had been washed up onto shore. The men said it was gray and about 20 feet long, but it eventually got itself back in the water and swam off. From that point, I would longer want to be on the river.
Yeah.
Would want to get out of there. Mm. In December 1980, a man was on Smith Lake and described seeing an animal that was also between 15 and 20 feet long, had two brown humps on its back that came out of the water, was snake-like, and again, left behind a wake like that of a speedboat. 1980, a crab fisherman said, quote, the creature looked like the world's biggest eel, which is also super gross.
Yeah.
In 1981, Larry Gwynn, who previously had been a newspaper publisher, was out fishing with his friend Stephen Wilson on Smith Lake. They both said that the animal moved so fast that it, again, left behind it a wake like the speedboat, wow. And it had two humps on its back, about 5 feet apart. So these two descriptions seem to be the most common that everyone says, with yeah. The humps and how it moves like a speedboat. Leaving a wake behind it and all that means that it must be big and swims fast. Mm-hmm. And so the two humps on its back are also usually always 5 feet apart. So that seems to be the description everyone's giving.
Yeah, it's, like, very consistent.
Mm-hmm. In 2002, a man was on the river near Brunswick and saw something that was over 20 feet long and 6 feet wide. Mm-hmm. And in 2010, an amateur photographer was in a channel off of the Fort King George Historic Site in Darien and recorded a video of, quote, something strange swimming in the waters. The video is actually available on YouTube, and I watched it, and so you can just search it on YouTube. It does show something breaking out of the surface of the water, mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you can't tell what it is, because from 2010, the video is not the best, but you do see something, mm-hmm. And the person filming claims it's not a gator, so Don't know what it could be. It was also reported as having been seen swimming along the river, basking in the sun on the shore, and reacting defensively when it sees a boat.
Sunbathing.
I know. So most recently, in March 2018, a sea monster washed ashore in Darien in the Wolf Island National Wildlife Refuge, and no surprise, many believe that it was Alty. So it was first spotted by Jeff Warren and his son, who had been walking along the river when they noticed a carcass that had washed onto the beach. Mm-hmm. They had at first thought it was a dead seal, but as they approached and got closer, they noticed that it looked like something from the Jurassic period and even a baby sea monster. So he stated, quote, this isn't a joke. There was a heron and some seagulls pulling its guts out and eating them, but they flew away when I got close. So it seems like it was, like, a legit animal.
Yeah.
So after this went public, many different biologists weighed in, stating that they believe it was a deep sea shark, maybe even a frilled shark. The biologists stated that from the pictures, they weren't able to see any gill slits, though, which sharks would have had. So Tara Cox, the associate professor of marine sciences at Savannah State University, mm-hmm. agreed that it did look like a shark, but disagreed that it was a frilled shark. She is quoted saying, I did some digging, and yes, a basking shark looks surprisingly like a mythological or prehistoric sea serpent when it decomposes.
So, that's a good point.
So Dan Ash, who's the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, went on to further say that, quote, basking sharks can begin to resemble plesiosaurs as their bodies decompose. So,
sorry, they're called basking sharks?
Basking sharks, yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised that they're not like blonde and their first name isn't Carol.
Oh, Nora.
Sorry, keep going.
Your laugh is my favorite. So, plesiosaur, it was a marine reptile from the Mesozoic era that could be anywhere from 8 to 46 feet long. And I know how much you love Friends. And so saying the Mesozoic era really reminded me of Ross from Friends.
Uh-huh. I don't watch it, so I don't know who that is.
I know you hate it. So they also said that this animal, the plesiosaur, would have sharp teeth, four flippers, and a short pointed tail. So it seems like it really could have been the Altamahaha.
Jeez. Wait, look at this basking shark.
Ew.
It's so scary looking.
That is really scary looking.
Jeez.
So it turns out that this whole monster that washed up on the shore was actually a scam by Zardulu. So Zardulu is an artist out of New York who is known for her viral animal hoaxes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So she made the fake Alti out of a taxidermied shark. So the biologists were right about it being some sort of shark and paper mache. She titled it Kitos Troyas. I don't speak Greek, which came from the Greek myth of Kitos. So the myth is of a sea creature who was sliced open by Heracles, who used a fish hook. It later appeared in New York City at the Transfer Gallery in an exhibition called Trichonis Aeternis, Rites and Mysteries. So it was just a complete hoax.
Wow.
And apparently this artist does that just all over the place.
And think about how many people saw that picture and don't know it was a hoax.
It was a video too. It was all over the news in Georgia. Like, people were talking about it all the time. This dude who found it was like freaking out about it. So it was a very, very big thing in Georgia.
Wow.
So many still believe that all of these sightings are nothing more than floating logs, vegetation, or other normal marine animals. Mm-hmm. So like I mentioned before, many believe it's just the sturgeon. They fit the color description perfectly, like the gray body, the white stomach. But sturgeons don't have razor sharp teeth, which Alti does. It's also believed to be an alligator gar. So adult alligator gars can grow up to be 10 feet and weigh 350 pounds. But they will typically only grow to 4 to 6 feet and weigh about 160 pounds. The world record for an alligator gar came out of the Rio Grande River, weighing in at 279 pounds.
Wow.
So people think it could be that because they always talk about the alligator snout. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Rick Spears, the illustrator of Tales of the Cryptids, is quoted saying, they, and I assume he means those who spotted it, mm-hmm. say it undulates up and down, but fish and reptiles move from side to side, so it's mammalian. And some people say it breathes steam or warm water, which suggests that it has lungs. Things like that have a basis in reality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So he's saying it like could legit be a thing.
Yeah.
Dallas Tanner, author of the novel Wake of the Lake Monster, believes that cryptids do have a basis in reality. He also stated that, quote, megafauna are those huge mammals that evolved huge size to survive the last ice age, and I don't think they all died off. We've only discovered that 10% of Earth's animals live on 10% of the Earth.
Wow.
So what I got from that is that there are many animals that are still living in our oceans, in the waters on our Earth, that we just have never 100%. Experienced.
There's so many, like, dark parts of the ocean that are so hard to get to, and the ocean is so massive.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely believe that.
So you know how they say, like, we know more about space than we know about our own oceans?
Mm-hmm.
So I 100% believe there could be something swimming somewhere.
Yeah.
So who is it to say that these creatures aren't real? And maybe it is just chilling in our oceans and that part we haven't discovered yet.
Oh, that's creepy.
So that's the Altamahaha cryptid. So I wanted to cover a cryptid because we hadn't covered one yet on our show.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, this would be pretty fun to look into.
I like that. That's crazy. And I mean, this basking shark looks scary. So
yeah.
I could see how people would think it's like some crazy animal.
Yeah. So yeah, they don't know if it's a seal or
what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and also like times have changed too. You know how back then sailors used to think that those manatees were like mermaids and stuff?
Yeah.
So I wonder if any of that is based in something like that where someone quickly saw it and I don't know, made up a story about it.
Very true.
But yeah, so that's the fun stuff in Georgia. So when we go, we're just gonna completely bypass all the water.
Exactly.
Ooh, I did go to Georgia once. And so we used to really be into The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff took place in Georgia. So when me, my mom, and my dad went down to Georgia to go see my brother, we stopped by, like, the CDC building that they used, and we were going to go to the rock quarry. So we went to all these different places in Georgia, and we stopped by Rick's house. So Rick was, like, one of the main characters. Uh-huh. We stopped by the house that he lived in the first episode. Like,
oh, it was really so cool. You know, a lot of shows are filmed in Georgia.
Because really?
Of, like, it has really good weather. It's on it's like the East Coast location for filming shows, which is interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, guys. We are finally on iTunes, so please rate and review us. Also, if you have any stories or anything creepy that happened in your state, please send it to ascarystatepodcast@gmail.com. We would love to have maybe once a month a listener episode, so where we'll read your scary or creepy or just any thing that's happened in your state. We would love to read about it and read it on the show.
Even if it's like a rumor of something that happened, like a folklore in your town,
urban legends,
we would love to hear about it.
Yeah, so write to us. That would be amazing.
Also, follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram is called A Scary State Podcast, and we post pictures from every episode on the Instagram, so you should check it out.
It's really fun to see what we were talking about.
Exactly.
Because I know I like to listen to podcasts when I drive, so I'm not going to just all of a sudden pull up a picture of someone. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thank you guys so much. We hope you keep listening and stay scary.
Stay safe.